But it's a woman or a couple that's living on a combined $268,000 a year near Washington, D.C. Make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel and turn on your notifications. Let's get to it.
I don't know if I ever feel that I will made it, right? Because once you feel you achieve something, you get settled and then life becomes boring. So I always like to get better and better and achieve for the best. My name is Christina Telotrillo. I'm 38 years old. I live in Bethesda, Maryland, in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. I live with my husband, Sebastian, and my five-year-old son, Leo. And in 2023, my husband and I made about $268,000.
A lot of money. It's a lot of money. Let's see how they're spending it. All of this extra music, I don't need it. Wait a minute, let me back up. Senior economist at the U.S. Census Bureau, and her husband is an economist at an international financial institution. So they're both equally yoked. They both about that bag. They both are economists, which means that it's probably a good way for them to manage their money. And she teaches as a professor.
In 2023, my personal income was $162,000 for working at the U.S. Census Bureau and teaching at the University of Maryland.
And they also made $6,000 from a rental property that they own in D.C. If she made $160,000, you must make $108,000. Christina purchased 3 additional rental properties by herself.
Me and my husband split expenses like 50-50. We've been doing that since we got married 7 years ago. My parents were very frugal, I think, because of their...
Can we stop there for a second? Can we stop there for a second? Her and her husband has been married for over 7 years, split expenses 50-50. Every single woman from other cultures that I see on here are willing to go 50-50 with a guy instead of doing 100% by herself. Every single woman that I see jump on these platforms say that they are going 50-50 with the man that they are married to or they are in a relationship with, and they have no problem with it. I'm trying to understand why. I'm trying to understand why. What do y'all think about that? What do y'all think? I'm not going to give an opinion. I've given too much of my opinion today anyway. What do y'all think about the fact that a lot of these women that are getting married are willing to go 50-50 with the men? And they high earners. They're high earners. They're productive. They make a lot of money. They make 6 figures. And they just be like, you know what? And I'm going 50-50 with my man. And this is what we're doing together.
Upbringing, they were kind of lower middle class. So I'm very into savings, very into investing. I'm very worried into not having a lot of big expenditures. So in that way, I'm the same as them. But also I'm different as them that I like to have some nice stuff. So I love to cook and I love to cook healthy food. I think it's a really great way to experience family when you sit at the table together with a home-cooked meal. My biggest expense outside of the necessary is probably Uber Eats.
Uber Eats. Hold on, let me go back and look at this budget. I missed the budget part. All right, so... they spend $5,300 in housing and utilities. Now, I'm wondering if that is all related to... okay, so let me look at the little things. Mortgage, Wi-Fi, quarterly bill. And wow, they spent $5,300 in a mortgage and utilities? That's a lot of money. But they splitting the cost, so I guess that they managing it. Savings and investments, $2,300 a month. Child care, $1,900 a month. They pay $2,000 a month in childcare. They expenses is insane. food, $1,900 a month, $2,000 a month in food. $2,000. All right. I don't know what kind of economist this is, but this is crazy. $2,000 a month in childcare, $2,000 a month in food, and only $2,300 a month in savings and investments. What kind of economist is this? $1,200 in discretionary. Insurance, $653. Memberships and subscriptions, $339. Medical expenses, $339. Transportation, $185. The only thing that they got going for them is that they don't have no car that they got to pay for, no car note. And then their phone is $141. This is a crazy budget. Why I say gym membership and streaming services? Where the gym membership part at? Anyways, that's a crazy budget. I see at least $6,000 right there that you can save a whole bunch of money on. It's a lot of money.
So I need weight. My biggest is I like to eat good food, and if I don't cook, I don't have time to cook, I splurge and order a really good ceviche or something Latin American. I like to spend money in exercise equipment. I have a pretty nice bike that I use over the weekend. So everything related to exercise, it's a no-brainer for me. If I find the utility for it, I go and get it.
Why do they have a 5-bedroom house for only 3 people? Because they're only using 2 bedrooms. This is stupid. They got a 5-bedroom house, and that house looked pretty basic, too. They got a 5-bedroom house, and they bought it for $1.2 million. Well, they got a combined income.
Our mortgage payment for the house that we live in is about $4,700.
Oh! All right, so let me make a point right now. So here's my thing, and I tell people this all the time. The biggest flex is having a paid-off house. That is going to be one of your biggest flexes in your lifetime. If you can eliminate your mortgage and eliminate a lot of the costs that's associated with lifestyle, paid off car, paid off crib, you're going to be able to do so much with your money. The biggest enemy of wealth is debt. And I guarantee you that the majority of the money that they're paying is going towards interest payments for the mortgage. Again, it's not a flex just to get an expensive house. I don't believe in that. I think that the biggest flex, because also with an expensive house, come more expensive property taxes, so they're going to pay crazy amount of money on that. More expensive insurance, also on that, and the maintenance costs are going to be more. That's the part that they're not telling you. You don't never really own your house because you still got to pay the property taxes, and the property taxes is based off of the assessed value of the house itself, which is what they use inside of your tax offices in order to get your schools funded and fund the federal government, fund the local government, and all of that. If you can get you a nice anywhere from $200,000 to $450,000 house, and you can really dedicate yourself to paying it off, biggest flex ever. Because you're going to have lower property taxes, lower maintenance, and you're not going to have to give interest payments over to the bank. We've programmed ourselves to really embrace sending free money over to the bank. Even if you're a millionaire, if you're a DECA millionaire, living in a $250,000, $300,000, $400,000 house, now if you want to, then you can get a bigger house. If you can pay it off, but I think that the biggest flex is always to have a paid off house versus having an expensive house that you're paying a mortgage for, even if you can afford it.
We have a pretty big home, pretty busy schedule. So that's a task that we decide to outsource. We didn't have a cleaning lady before, but it has saved us a lot of issues between me and my husband. I think it's money well spent.
They got a cleaning lady.
I think childcare is so expensive, and very happy to be done with childcare. My son is now 5.
Somebody said, good luck finding a $250,000 house. It's not hard. Y'all just don't want to go to the states that got them. Y'all want to live in Miami, D.C., New York, Los Angeles. Y'all want to live in the most expensive places. And so you said, good luck finding the 200. No, you can find them. They out there. I promise you they're out there, and they not in the hood either. They're out there, And the very ones that's out there, I guarantee you those homes in less than 5 years is going to be $500,000.
Entering kindergarten. So even though I don't have to pay for his 9-to-3 education, I still have to pay for aftercare. It's expected to be $700 per month.
That's one of the things about when, okay, look. I think that career women look for careers because a lot of times they think that the career is to define them. It gives them a sense of purpose. So the majority of their money that they're making, they wind up giving it over to Uber Eats because they don't want to cook no more. They wind up spending a bunch of money on daycare and after child care, which is to the tune of, it looks like, $2,600 a month. And so now, basically, everything that she's working for is to sustain what she would normally be doing if she was just a housewife. And I'm not mad at it. I think it's fine as long as they're not doing nothing to nobody else. But again, look at all of the costs and the additional expenses that you're doing. And then you also going into a higher tax bracket and they want to be able to sustain his lifestyle. And so if you just think about what it is that they're doing, that's why they only able to put up $2,300 a month in savings. And she got to work a second job. You got to remember, she's an economist for the U.S. Census Bureau. And then she's also teaching at night in order to sustain her lifestyle. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. This woman is working her butt off. She's working her butt off to sustain the lifestyle that she normally wouldn't have to if she didn't have to do that. She would just be able to be a stay-at-home mom. She could cook, whatever. But she want to do Uber Eats. She want to do daycare. She want to do after-school care. She want to do all of this stuff. And so what she's doing is she's leveraging all of these other people to raise her son for her. But the problem with that, and this is one of the things that I didn't want. I didn't want them instilling the values into my daughter that I wanted instilled myself. The daycare is raising your kid. I remember a lot of these latchkey kids. When we was coming up, they had latchkey kids. And those was kids that their parents were still working after work and they couldn't pick them up directly when school let out. And so they would go to latchkey. And in latchkey, whoever it was watching your kids, they were the ones that were instilling the value in your children. And that's why we got the people that we got today. They're latchkey kids. It's no core values. It's no traditionalism anymore. And so we always only looking at the bag, but we not looking at what the bag, chasing the bag, is costing us as far as chasing money. Sometimes it's a net negative, not only with the amount of money that you got to spend in order to work, but it's also a net negative in how your children are affected by other people instilling certain values in your children. Just telling you.
I think I'm less risk averse than my husband. He's much more conservative with his money. He puts the money in a bank, in a savings account, and he's happy with that. I'm more into, okay, my savings account give me 5%. How can I make more money, right? So I'm trying to look it for
she
the
next operate just next like a man. She thinking just like a man, but then she got women tendencies.
Think. I don't expect to pay for my kid's college. I hope that he gets a scholarship or a loan.
Making $268,000 a year talking about, I hope my kid get a scholarship. I don't expect to pay for my kid's college. Making $268,000 a year combined, living in a $1.2 million house and saying that I hope I don't have to pay for my kid to go to college. That's crazy, man. And she an economist.
That he can pay his own college. I would not like my kid to feel that he has enough safety net so he doesn't make an effort to succeed in the world. I want him to fight for the things that he wants, and maybe I'll save some money so he can get a decent.
And she not having another kid because she got to put her career first.
An inheritance, but not a lot. I expect him to get his own money, get his own saving, because that's the way that life works, right? So when we go to the store, I tell my kid that I can buy him a toy or something that he wants.
Let me tell you what because I see somebody saying that they agree with her. Let me tell you what my strategy is. My strategy is, if she gets a scholarship, cool, but she will never depend on the federal government in order for her to be able to go to school and continue her education. That's already taken care of. The money for her to go to school was already put up. Before I ever bought a nicer car, before I ever started doing what it is that I wanted to do, the first thing that I did was make sure that my daughter was taken care of so that she would never have to beg Biden or Kamala Harris for student loan forgiveness. Ever. Ever. I don't live on hope. That's what Obama sold you. That's what Kamala Harris is selling you. I don't live on hope. That's not what we do over here. If we get it, cool. If we don't, we don't care because we never expected it in the first place. I don't operate on hope. I operate on real life circumstances, and I'm a realist. Anyways, this is silly. These women is crazy, and she an economist.